Proverbs chapter 4. And when you have your hands free, and or if not, it's okay if you will still make your still join together as we make our confession this morning in the Lord and the confidence in His Word. And let me just say this for those of you who may just be listening to the message: if you'd like to send help to Ukraine, we do have one of our missionaries who has contacts there. He may actually be going to Poland himself to take funds, but if you'd like to give, if you give to the Gilberts, it's on our website, secured link. Please just make sure you label it, that, you know, that it goes to them, and we'll pass it on, okay? All right, Lord bless you. Well, are you ready to make a confession together today? Let's declare. You ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By His truth, I am set free. Free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. My mind is alert, my heart is open, my spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs chapter 4. The Proverbs in God's Word are basically, they're sayings that contrast wise living with foolish living. That's just a general overview. Contrast wise living with foolish living. Not every proverb is a promise. Some of them are just like general observations, but all of them are for us to learn by. For example, one proverb says, I went by the field of the lazy person, and I saw that it was all grown over with weeds, and the stone wall was broken down. I looked on it, and I received instruction. Some of it is like what you would call a character. It's like it'll give maybe characteristics of someone who is godly, someone who is, maybe wise, or someone who is thrifty, or whatever it may be, all right? So here in Proverbs, did I ask you what chapter? Did I say four? Let me read you one verse, because I want you to see who is the ultimate source of wisdom, and that's Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6. Proverbs 2, 6 says, for the Lord gives wisdom, from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. God is the ultimate source of wisdom, and wisdom is found in His Word, His inspired Word that He has given to us. Now, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, really like to just center on this particular verse this morning. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, I'll read it through. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Keep your heart. The word keep there means to guard, like you're protecting, like you're watching over something. So keep your heart means to guard your heart. And in fact, that's how it's translated in many translations. So that's the simple message today, is guard your heart. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. I want to share a few just examples in the message this morning of those who maybe did not guard their heart. And I hope that we would look on it and receive instruction that we would be wise and guard our heart. He says, guard your heart, keep your heart, watch over your heart, protect your heart with all diligence, for out of your heart spring the issues of life. The word there means like a beginning. This is a course. As a matter of fact, the New Living Translation says it like this, if you want to see it on the screen. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, I believe, really brings out why we need to guard our heart. It says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Would you read that verse out loud with me, if you just join me as we read off the screen? Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Now, whatever season we're in right now in our lives, maybe some of us can look back and we can see the course that we're on, and we know that the current course we're on is a result of what we have nurtured in our heart in seasons past. And so it'll take us on a certain course. And whatever your course may have been up until this moment, thank God for new beginnings. And I just want to say this. If we want the course of our lives to be fruitful, if we want the course of our lives to be blessed in God, then we must guard our heart. We must be wise and we must be diligent to guard our heart. How it says it here, guard your heart above all else. Guard your heart. Would you say that with me? Guard your heart. I want to share two, I believe, practical action steps of how we can guard our heart. But before we can guard our heart the right way, we first have to have a clean heart to guard. And if you want to write this scripture down, I'll read it to you from Mark 7. This is Jesus speaking. He says these words in Mark chapter 7, beginning in verse 21. Mark 7, 21, Jesus said, "For from within, out of the heart of men proceed," notice what it says here, "evil thoughts." And let me pause just a second, because when the Bible speaks of our heart, of course, we have a physical heart. But when it says guard your heart, the word there refers to our inner life. It refers to the seat of our thoughts and emotions. Do you realize that the Bible teaches that it's not just our mind that thinks, our heart thinks? The Bible says God knows the very thoughts and intentions of our heart. So when the scripture says guard your heart, it's like God is saying to us, guard your passions, guard your desires, guard your affections, guard your thoughts. So guard your heart implies all of this. So he says, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. You didn't know all that was in our heart, dude. What a mess. Someone said the heart of the problem is a heart. Verse 23, all these things come from within and defile a man. So we need a new heart. We need a cleansing. We need a purifying. We've sung about the power of God to cleanse us and purify our hearts today. So thank God that he purifies our heart when we are born again. The Bible says this again, if you want to just write it down, Acts 15. Acts chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. The Bible says, so God, who knows the heart, acknowledge them, those who were not Jewish, by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. See, when God's Spirit convicts us of sin, and we're like, man, I know I've done wrong, I'm sorry, and he draws us to God. Sin is basically going our way, and salvation is turning to God's way. The Bible calls that turning repentance. So it's turning from our way to God's way. It's turning from unbelief to believing in Jesus as our crucified and risen Lord, that he has all the glory. And when we do that, it doesn't matter if we're 5 or 105, we're what the Bible calls born again. We're born anew. And when that happens, God's Holy Spirit enters our heart, and he moves in and he cleans us. He cleans our heart. So he moves in, he cleans house, and he makes himself at home. So when the Bible says, guard your heart, I just believe the Lord was really just impressing this on me yesterday. Some of you are familiar with the scripture that says we have this treasure in earthen vessels, or like it's we have the treasure of God's presence. We have the treasure of God's glory and God's Spirit on the inside of us if we are born again. And so when he says, guard your heart, I believe he's saying also guard that treasure of God's Spirit that is within your clay body. And not only is he saying guard your heart, I believe he wants us to know, because God's Spirit is in us, he will help us guard our heart. He doesn't do everything that God commands us to do. He helps us do if we trust him to help us. That's so important. God is willing to help us guard our heart. But if we do not believe him to help us, we rob ourselves of his help and strength. It's not that he's not willing. We're just not believing. So we've got to believe not just for salvation, brothers and sisters. We got to believe for God to help us guard our heart. If you, like me, have been in church, any church, for any length of time, many of you, if I were to ask, I won't, but many of you could say, I've seen someone who was serving God, someone who was faithful, someone maybe who was involved in ministry, and sadly, because they did not guard their heart, they're no longer walking in full fellowship with the Lord today. They're no longer walking in full fellowship with his people because they allowed something to get in their heart that drew their affection and drew their passion and drew their thoughts away and took them in a different course. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Guard your heart. I believe that's a word of wisdom for all of us. Guard your heart. Would you once again say it with me? Guard your heart. Would you turn to someone next to you and just give them a loving smile and tell them, guard your heart? Now, who's the main one we need to tell to guard our heart? Us. Amen. So you might as well say it, guard your heart. One more scripture reference before we read these verses in Proverbs 4, if you want to write it down. Guarding our heart must be a way of life because we are in a constant battle over our heart. A constant battle. And we must be wise. The man who wrote these very words to us allowed himself and his heart to be taken away. Let me give you the scripture reference for it. It's in 1 Kings chapter 11. I will come back to Proverbs 4. But 1 Kings chapter 11, the Bible says this in verse 2, that Solomon ended up getting involved with women from other nations. Not the nations weren't the issue. He says in verse 2 that from the nations of whom the Lord said to the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will, and notice, turn away your hearts after their gods. But Solomon clung to these in love. Do you see where his affection was and where his heart was? Then verse 3, he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. He had 1,000 women. I have a hard time keeping up with one. She's not in the sanctuary this morning. She's ministering with the children, so y'all keep my cover. She'd probably say the same. I know she would about me. And it says, his wives turned away his heart. For so it was when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. Isn't that, if y'all would put this verse up on the screen too, please. We just drop down to verse 14. Verse 14 says that now the Lord raised up an adversary against Solomon. See, he started off right. He started off going in the right direction, but somewhere along the line, he let his guard down and he allowed his heart to be taken away, and it took the course of his life to a sad and contentious end that God did not want him to have. Do you see what I'm saying? It's a constant battle. He was considered the wisest man alive, but he didn't continue to live it out every day. And so we've got to guard our heart. Two practical steps, I believe, that how can we guard our heart? First, number one, we must pursue godly input. And then number two, we must reject ungodly input. So first, and I'll give you the verses. You don't have to feel like you have to speed write or anything. But how do we guard our heart? If God calls us to guard our heart, in very practical, I mean, day in, day out, 21st century life, how do we guard our hearts today? First, I believe we must pursue godly input. Godly input leads to godly output. Godly input leads to godly output. And I thought about it as a sponge. You know, sometimes when the pressure is on, what's on the inside comes out. And so if we're filled with God's word, when the pressure comes and the tribulation and the trials come, it can bring that word out. So pursue godly input. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1 says this, hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. Notice the words, please, hear and give attention. We have to give attention. We have to tune our ears in Verse 2, for I give you good, doctrine just means teaching. I give you good teaching, do not forsake my law. The Hebrew word there is Torah. It's the word that's used for God's word. David wasn't just telling Solomon, I want you to listen to my words. He was saying, I want you to listen to God's word through me. So he's saying, I want you to give attention because this is important. He's setting him up to tell him how to guard his heart. And so he's saying, I need you to give me your attention. I need you to really listen because I'm giving you God's word. See, godly input centers on God's word. It may come in various forms from various people, but it's always in line with God's written word. Remember, God is the source of wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Would you look at verse 11, Proverbs 4:11? The Bible says this, I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. So as parents, we are not only to, you know, to instruct our sons and daughters in God's way, we're to lead the way. And that's with anyone. We don't have to be a parent. We're to lead by the example of our lives. And then if you drop down to verse 20, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20 says this, my son, again, give attention to my words. Let me pause there just a second. Because here is, you know, when parents seek to instill, give godly input to their sons and daughters, we become a picture of God who, as a father, wants to impart wisdom to us. So we represent God's heart when we're seeking to give godly input and share God's word with others. And then please notice this is very important there again in verse 20. Incline your ear to my sayings, do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them where? So if we want to guard our heart, we must first guard our ears and we must guard our eyes. So we must be wise about what we choose to focus on. We must be wise about what we choose to subject ourselves to. Life will throw us some mess, and some people have gone through some very difficult and hard circumstances that was no choice of their own. But what we choose to focus on, what we choose to listen to, what we choose to hear, what we choose to read and to watch, we need to be wise because whatever we allow into that ear gate or eye gate can get into our heart. And remember, once it's in our heart, then it can determine the course of our lives. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. So he goes on, he says this. He says, do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Verse 22. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Would you read that scripture out loud with me? For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Brothers and sisters, talking about pursuing godly input, there's so much mess out today that can just, it can keep us angry. It can keep us bitter. It can keep us anxious and worried and in turmoil and bound. And I believe we must choose to hear, give attention. How much attention, what kind of attention do you give to the word of God? So he says, hear the word and receive the life-giving word of God. Hear and receive the healing word of God. Hear and receive the strengthening word of God. Hear and receive the comforting word of God. Hear and receive the correcting word of God. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. We need God's word will strengthen us. The psalmist prayed, strengthen me according to your word. And Lord knows we need his strength in this day. And we need the wisdom of God for our relationships. How is a husband supposed to treat a wife? How are we supposed to raise our sons and daughters? How am I supposed to honor my parents? What kind of friends should I choose? We need God's wisdom for our battles. We need God's wisdom for trials. We need God's wisdom for the tests that we all face. We need the wisdom of God to handle money. But if we want the wisdom of God, we must treasure and value wisdom enough to pursue it. And that means we must come to God and to his word. And we must receive. We've got to pursue godly input. We've got to desire it enough to pursue it. So we must pursue wisdom. I want to give you one more example here in the Old Testament, 2 Samuel 15, if you want to write the verse down, 2 Samuel chapter 15. Because we're pursuing godly input, I'm more convinced than ever that we need godly fellowship. We need godly fellowship. I told you, I said, I've seen, you know, over the years of being in church, and in one season of my life, I was one of those who was in church and got out. And what happened was the church we were attending, sadly, the pastor fell into immorality. And when I say we were attending, when my mom took my sister and I to church, you know, when we were young. And we got out of church. We left that church. But what happened is we didn't get plugged in somewhere else. And if you're not receiving the godly input, you know what you're going to receive. And here's a young guy coming up into my, you know, coming up toward teenage years and so forth. And so you know what was going on. And so, but you see, my heart started going that way. That's what I'm saying. And then when my family came back to church, thankfully, my heart was still not there initially. But because I kept coming, God did something. And he drew me back. And I'm just a thankful prodigal who came home. And I'm thankful that somebody didn't give up praying on me, my mom, dad, you know. And I'm thankful for a church that proclaimed God's word. And that's what I'm saying. And godly input is so important. And I believe it's a safeguard. I believe it's a safeguard. If we have that godly fellowship together, I'm not saying, you know, we're above falling, but I'm saying it's harder for the devil to pick us off. The Bible says this, if you want to just write it down, in 2 Samuel 15. Let me just read it to you. It's an account of one of David's sons, of all people. 2 Samuel chapter 15. And the Bible says this in around verse 2. The Bible says this, 2 Samuel 15, 2. Now Absalom would rise early and stand beside the way to the gate. So it was whenever anyone who had a lawsuit came to the king for a decision that Absalom would call to him and say, hey, what city are you from? He would say, your servant's from such and such, a tribe of Israel. And Absalom would look at him and say, look, your case is good and right, but there's no deputy of the king to hear you. Moreover, Absalom would say, oh, that I were made judge in the land. And everyone who has any suit or cause would come to me. I'd give him justice. Verse 5, so it was whenever anyone came near to bow down to the king, because or the king's son, they would show reverence to him. He would put out his hand, and he'd take him, and he'd kiss him. And in this manner, notice, Absalom acted toward all Israel. See, he acted deceitfully, and what happened? So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. He acted deceitfully, and he stole the hearts of the people. You know what Absalom means? Av Shalom. Av, father of peace. He came as a father of peace, but he acted deceptively and told people what they wanted to hear, and he stole the hearts of God's people from the true king and actually led a rebellion against his own father because he stole their hearts. Do you see how important that is to guard our hearts? That's where we need discernment. We need the wisdom and truth of God's word to give us discernment to know what's false. Because if someone gives us a little flattery or tickles our ears with something we want to hear, then we can be drawn to something that's not 100% true and end up stealing our hearts away from the Lord. Lord, help us. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. And brothers and sisters, our fluctuating feelings and our limited understanding are not sufficient to discern what is right and wrong. We must have an objective standard of truth. We must have the wisdom of God's word if we want to know what is right and what is wrong. Guard your heart. Pursue godly input. Reject ungodly input. Proverbs 4:14. So before I read that verse, if we're really pursuing godly input from God's word and from godly people, it will help us guard our heart. I did not say it'll be easy. I said it will help us guard our heart because we will still be tempted. The Bible says, Proverbs 4:14, do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Would you say avoid it?
Avoid it.
Avoid it. Don't even travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they've done evil. Their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. You know, some people just want to see a Christian fall. Verse 17, they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But now notice the contrast. There is a way of the wicked, but thank God, verse 18, but the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. Do you see what I'm saying? If we set our course in the way of what is right and what is righteous and just, that's the course I want my life to go in. But if I want that course, I've got to guard my heart and make sure that what's given direction in my life is godly input to lead me that way. And then verse 24, the Bible says this. After he says, guard your heart, he says, put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. So we must be wise not only about what we hear and what we see, we must be wise about what we say. I think I've learned that just because we think it doesn't mean we should say it. Don't bring more battles on yourself than you need. And speak words that are uplifting. But do you see how important it is that we get the good word in so that when that time comes, the good word can come out? Godly input leads to godly output. If you want to write this last reference down, it's found in the New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. There was a man by the name of Demas, and he's mentioned in two other books of the Bible. He was a companion. He ministered with Paul the apostle. And in the book of Philemon and the book of Colossians, he's there sending greetings along with the apostle to the church, the people of God. But that's why I'm saying no one's above falling. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Because here is a man who's ministering with the apostles. And notice what it says as Paul is writing his final words. Probably in a matter of weeks, he was going to be executed, having his head cut off. And he's writing to one of his young followers in the faith. He wasn't his biological son, but he was a spiritual son to him. And he's writing this last letter, and he's pleading with him. He was in a cold dungeon, and he said, do your best to come quick and bring a coat. I'm cold. And bring the parchments. Bring the word that you have. Bring me something to read. And it says this in verse 9, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9. Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas, this same man, has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Do you see, brothers and sisters, how his heart was taken away? And in a moment, in fact, I remember years ago I heard B.B. and C.C. Winans say this. The more trash you let in, the more you must battle. See what I'm saying about the godly input? Please don't give any indication. But how many of you could say, I am facing some temptations still in this season of my life because of something I allowed into my heart years ago? Some of you could say, yeah. Again, thank God, though, for new beginnings. Thank God for renewing. That's not to be a condemning word. I want to offer hope this morning that whatever may have had taken place, today is a new day. And we can put good in our, we can put godly input out our heart, and we can take our lives in a new direction, and we can change course, thank God. And His Holy Spirit is in us to help us. So let's treasure His presence in us. I remember years ago, I was in a setting. I wasn't even at this church at the time. I was, you know, out of the area. And I remember this brother doing a little Bible study. And he really knew none of us. But he kept on this theme of, I guard my heart. I guard my heart. I guard my heart. And later, and I know he didn't know it because I didn't know it. He didn't even know the group. Later on, I found out that someone in the group was going in a different direction in their heart, but it led to actions that took them to a different way. But it was like God was pleading through this brother. I guard my heart. I guard my heart. I guard my heart. If we want our lives to go in a good direction, please, I'm saying it with you, let's guard our heart. Let's pursue godly input. Let's reject the ungodly. I know it's tempting, but let's reject the godly input. And I'm just thankful to God for His Holy Spirit. See, our battle as believers is we still have that old tendency to want to sin, but we've got God's Holy Spirit on the inside leading us to obedience too. And thank God we can choose to follow Him. We can choose to guard our heart. And the key is just staying in close fellowship with Him. That's the key. It's ultimately not about how much strength we have in guarding our heart. It's how much grace God has as we stay in close fellowship with Him, because the Lord is able to help us. Guard your heart. Would you say it with me? Guard your heart. I thank God for His love to draw us. I thank God for His power to heal us. I thank God for His truth to free us. Today can be a new day. And thank God we can be renewed in the very spirit of our mind as we put off the old and put on the new. So I want to just close with this. Do you believe God's word? Do you believe God's word? Then will you believe Him and receive God's love today? Would you receive His love? Will you right now even open your heart and say, Lord, I receive Your grace. Lord, I receive this truth. I receive Your truth. I receive Your peace. And then based on God's love for us, will you in turn love Him? And by His grace, will you guard your heart? I want us all to finish strong and not get off course. I hope that I've just been able to share the heart of God as a father with all of us here today. As I'm telling you, it's done out of love and done with a burden that we would stay true to the Lord. Can we stand and go to the Lord in prayer?